Many of you are surely wondering why I have summoned you at this hour.
It's time for the big interview!
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
That's right, it's big. It's the big names, the big news, the biggest stories. It's the next big thing. What's the big deal? It's the big interview.
What's going on here? This is big news. We need coverage of this.
Money Life brings you the big thinkers, the top experts, the brightest minds. With the big interview, you can stay informed about all the financial matters that are important to you, all in one big package.
Oh, boy. Got a package this big. I've always wanted to have a huge package.
Did my taxes pay for this?
The big interview. Sit down, strap yourself in, and get ready to learn.
Your mind is beginning to work. It's entirely due to my influence, of course. You mustn't take any credit.
I'm very pleased to be joined right now by Doug Roberts, because he's going to help us get our minds around what we should be thinking about in light of the Fed raising rates last week. Because Doug Roberts is the chief investment strategist at Channel Capital Research. He is also the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success. Doug's been on the show many times before. He frequently comes on after there's Fed news. If you want to learn more about him, well, his website is DougRoberts.com, and he's on Twitter at Doug S. Roberts. Channel Capital Research is at ChannelCapitalResearch.com. Doug Roberts, welcome back to Money Life.
Chuck, always a pleasure to be here.
So I'm going to just use the title of your book, because you do tell folks what to do, to kind of frame the question here. I mean, we just saw the Fed raise interest rates. They laid a pretty good blueprint for what's going to happen next, that more rate hikes are coming, although not necessarily at the next meeting, and not necessarily let's go back to, you know, 2006-ish and raise rates all the time. But they definitely have laid out the blueprint. They followed the plan. And you now have a bunch of people saying, okay, you're going to expect to see the fallout. So if we as investors want to react and the Fed is now taking this direction, how do we follow the Fed to investment success in a rising rate environment, a slowly rising rate environment, that would be different than whatever we've been doing in a flat, low, ultra low, no rate hike environment?
Actually, what you really have to look for is really braking. You have to view basically the Fed as putting on the brakes on a car. It really depends upon how fast the car is going. If the car is going 100 miles an hour, putting on the brakes may not necessarily be a bad thing, as long as you don't go from, you know, 100 to zero in 2 seconds. But at the same time, if you're only going 30, you're in the middle of the freeway, and you're starting to come to a stop, that can cause an accident. And that's really the problem that you have right now. Right now, the economy seems to be growing, and also there seems to be plenty of money flowing in here. And really, as long as the Fed does it gradually, then they can change course and they can change direction. The real problem begins is if the Fed starts to accelerate their tightening cycle, and then all of a sudden it appears that the economy isn't quite as healthy as we thought it once was, and we come to a complete stop or a break, and then, you know, nobody's wearing seat belts, and then everything can kind of go down. So if you look at it now, I really consider it more of a non-event, because if you look at inflation, it's still relatively benign. Rates aren't particularly high. I mean, let's take a look at this. Really, we're going really up to 0.75 points. That's not exactly what you call something that's going to slow it down. What it also is relative to the rest of the world, it's also attracting money, because we seem to be the best environment to get returns. So now, as long as the Fed kind of stays on this course and does things almost at a snail's pace, it should be able to change direction fairly quickly and react to the economy. And that was really why the market rallied last week, you know, for the most part, when the Fed news came out, is they were in fear that really the Fed would accelerate the tightening process instead of talking about raising rates two more times in 2017. They would go up to three times and would have somewhat of a repeat of 1994, or possibly even talking about 50 basis point raises as opposed to 0.25 points. So right now it's kind of like slow and steady is the course. And with regard to kind of like tightening for next year or even for the rest of the year, if they do it slowly, you know, they can change directions fairly quickly. If you look at it, the tightening cycle started early, but really last year we only tightened once. And if you know you continue on that pace, it's pretty easy to reverse direction. So that's the big thing that I think you have to look at, is the strength of the economy. The bigger thing is there some type of a black swan, some type of a glitch out there overseas lurking that could disrupt this thing and cause it fairly quickly. Again, using the auto analogy, if you're going along 60 miles on the highway and all of a sudden there's an accident that occurs and then you can't brake or you can't reverse direction, that's how you get 5 or 6 car pileups. And that's really what I think, you know, you have to be aware of, because there are a lot of things happening mid-year. Brexit negotiations, really the rubber is going to have to meet the road with really Trump policy, separating it from tweets and seeing if actual policy implementation occurs. And then also whether there are going to be people coming into power overseas who, you know, are more right-wing, more radical, and that could cause problems overseas, which could then link over here into our credit system. You have to remember that in 2008, when we had our problems, it was really as a result of AIG's overseas subsidiary, which nobody, and even former Fed chairman Ben Bernanke admits, nobody saw it coming, nobody was aware of it, until they walked into his office and said there's a ripple effect that could take down the entire U.S. financial system.
Yeah, well, you know, let us hope that those kinds of events are not in the offing at all. But when you look at what they are doing now, they've got this program, but we also have so much political uncertainty in Chicago, and we know that the Fed is trying not to be a political agency. But how much does the political situation just make you scratch your head right now about what the Fed can do?
I think what you really have to separate is social from economic. A lot of the uncertainty is coming into social policies. I mean, really, that may cause severe disruption in the United States political system. It may cause, you know, unrest, civil unrest, but does it really affect economics? And a large part of what we've seen, including, you know, let's say, the deportation orders, is it really affecting the economy? And probably a lot of it is no. Some of it, such as health care, could affect the economy in the sense, but that's really more of an asset allocation. Are certain industries going to benefit? Are certain industries going to be penalized? And we really don't know yet, because that's still under the negotiation. And as of now, nothing's changed. So, you know, again, that's not going to affect whether we have a bull or a bear market. What it's really going to affect is, again, the assets and the sub-asset classes are elegant. And thus far, it seems to be really, despite all the news headlines and the volatility in the market, which may increase as a result of this uncertainty, it still seems to be pretty much the same as it was before.
You know, there was talk as Donald Trump was elected about whether or not Janet Yellen would fulfill her term. Most of that talk has quieted down. Do you see any reason that we would see any sort of change, at least over the short term? You know, is there any reason to believe that she won't stay and serve out her role?
I doubt that, severely. I mean, again, what we've seen with President Trump is oftentimes his bark is worse than his bite. And if you look at the people surrounding him, by and large, they're not firebrands in terms of policy positions, at least. In terms of economic policy, they're fairly conventional. You even saw Secretary Mnuchin back off on trade wars. And even when he's picked, let's say, fights with countries overseas, it's really been more with Mexico, who are trade dependence is really on more lower quality goods, where we can find substitutes fairly quickly, as opposed to Canada, where there's a more strategic relationship. So I don't think there's going to be a problem over time. As you saw in previous administrations, I think he will want to put on his stamp, but I see no reason that he's going to accelerate that any more than he is right now.
From the perspective of the Fed versus foreign central banks, how much is the Fed a bellwether? And, you know, nobody's going to want to go too far against it. How much will any foreign central banks, as the Fed starts to become less accommodative and they have become more accommodative, how much will they see that as an opportunity? And what does that bode for the strength of the currency and everything else going forward?
Right now, we just seem to be ahead of the curve relative to everybody else. I think that's going to continue. But as long as the Fed doesn't get too far ahead of the curve, then I don't see it as particularly disruptive. I think a significant portion in the long term, and we have to realize on Wall Street, the long term can be filled. And this fits into, you know, what I'm saying is the second half uncertainty scenario, that a lot of real uncertainty will start to arise in the second half, is then that may become more important. But again, it really depends upon tax policy. If there's a tax policy adjustment, which is being discussed in Congress, of some type of a border adjustment to allow for that, to prevent capital flight from other countries coming here and then prevent economic flight in terms of jobs and manufacturing going overseas, that may be something that we can deal with. We have had periods in time where the U.S. led in terms of tightening, and we've been able to deal with that, particularly during the late 1980s. And that wasn't particularly any more disruptive for a major bear market. You have to look for kind of like one-off events that tend to happen and disrupt the system, things that you're not anticipating, things that you don't see coming, otherwise the market tends to discount it.
I read your commentaries, and my audience, well, again, folks, it's channelcapitalresearch.com if you want to learn more. And your research goes well beyond all the things that are Fed-related, et cetera. One of the things that you always talk about is oil prices. Oil prices, we know what a huge impact they are on consumer confidence and on all things that fit into how people are spending. You seem to think that oil prices are basically range-bound here for a while. So is that going to be a case where, again, sort of the non-story, and that's boding well for the status quo continuing?
I think that's a really good summary, because really what you're looking for, if there's excessive tightening, then that could spur the Fed to accelerate their schedule. But right now you're seeing new supply come online, as we predicted earlier, that's kind of capping oil prices really in the low 50s. But at the same time, we don't see demand weakening, which could cause uncertainty in the other direction, since a lot of the oil companies are highly leveraged, a lot of, you know, the financial institutions as well. And if it goes the other direction, it could cause one of those forms of instability, and then basically create a major fear of black swans, which could be substantive. And the Fed may not necessarily be able to reverse direction quickly enough to compensate for that. So as long as kind of like we're range bound, that's the best of all worlds, because it doesn't put pressure on the Fed in either direction.
And quickly, the other thing that you always talk about is margin debt. And you usually talk about margin debt as a technical indicator. We're almost out of time here, but what are you seeing right now on margin debt, and what does that tell you?
Margin debt is starting to come back. It still hasn't fully broken out of the peak that it had previously, but at the same time, it indicates that right now there's not a massive fear that people are willing to speculate, and usually that tends to be a leading indicator of kind of like the health of the credit system. Not necessarily whether, you know, it's good or bad, but basically it means that people are willing to kind of invest and use credit as a means of doing that. If they don't tend to do that and they tend to back off, that means that there may be an underlying credit problem that we're not seeing in the system. Again, it's not a definitive indicator. It's one of the indicators we look at.
Well, Doug, this has been great. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us on the show. I look forward to chatting with you again in the not-too-distant future.
Sounds great, Chuck. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Doug Roberts, everybody. He is the Chief Investment Strategist at Channel Capital Research. Go to channelcapitalresearch.com. You can also follow him on Twitter. He's at Doug S. Roberts. Remove the S and you get to DougRoberts.com, which is his website. Plus, you can learn more about his book, Follow the Fed to Investing Success. Up next,
danger, danger.
Yep, it's the danger zone. David Trainer from New Constructs will be here when we come back from this message.